I was going through this series from Hebrews chapter 11. I went through the faith of these patriarchs. We have the faith of Abel. We've talked about the faith of Abel. We've talked about the faith of Enoch. We also mentioned the faith of Noah and Abraham. And on, I would like to talk right now a little bit about the faith of Jacob and Joseph. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 21. Let me start from verse 21 in a moment, and I pray that the Lord will open your understanding to really get some substance out of this. When we look through the life history of all these men of faith, one thing very peculiar that we notice is the fact that all these heroes of faith that were listed in Hebrews chapter 11, they did something that I called something that we in this generation could have said, this is ridiculous. Only those men that did something ridiculous, something that could be laughed at, and yet they were doing it because God put it in their heart to do and God commanded them to do it. Those are the people that were classified as men of faith. They are men that are not ashamed to do something ridiculous for God, to stand alone for God. And let me talk about Jacob and Joseph in a moment. In verse 21, again, remember what we said in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 11. It said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now remember that substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And when we go to the faith of Jacob and Joseph, I will specifically mention this aspect of this great men of faith, that they have not seen these things. They believed in the revelation that was given to them by God, and they had a substance in their head that this thing is true, and they followed their faith and their belief. But you say, how do we know they follow their belief? It is their action. Whatever is the action, action actually presents to us that they believed in something. So if you have faith, your faith must be doing some work. There must be action with your faith to make not only God, even men, to recognize that you are pursuing something or you are believing something. Now in verse 21, it said, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Let's stop right there and let's go ahead and see in the book of Genesis where Jacob blessed his children. You wonder that this is somebody that was blessing, giving prophecies of what will happen in the future to his generation behind him. So he was not profane, like we say, profane like Esau, didn't care. He cared, he knew what was coming to happen, because these people moved, they walked with God. No matter, if you walk with God, you must exercise faith. And part of your exercising of faith is believing in the future. You must believe in the future that has been revealed to you. This has been shown to us in the Bible by Jacob. In Genesis chapter 49, Jacob in verse 1, let me read it to you again. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Now he was prophesying to them, and you can read the whole of chapter 49 to be able to understand what I'm saying here. He was giving prophecies of what will transpire, and these things did not transpire until maybe thousands of years, which means Jacob believed in the future that was revealed to him by God. And not only that, I'm going to point to you some specific mysteries in this chapter. You will see in verse 9 that he was talking about Judah, and was giving the prophecy of the Messiah in the line of Judah. However, there's another mystery here, that he gave the scepter of the kingdom in verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. Now he said, until Shiloh come. It's almost like saying, when Shiloh come, the scepter must cease. A lot of people did not recognize it that way, though. A lot of preachers are assuming he was giving to Judah everything. But according to this, my own understanding, he was saying, until Shiloh come. Now, we were saying, what did he mean by that? He was saying, until actually the Messiah, the Lord, comes. Until the Lord comes. Now, you may say, you have to wonder now, he was describing Shiloh that will come in the next few verses. So unto him shall be the gathering of the people be. Now, you may say, you have to wonder now, he was describing Shiloh that will come in the next few verses. So unto him shall be the gathering of the people be. We know that he's talking about the Messiah. Binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass colt unto the choice vine. Now he was talking about the Messiah. And remember, when the Messiah came, he sent for the ass colt to be brought to him, and it was tied to a tree at the junction. And see, Jacob saw that prophecy thousands of years before it happened, that the Messiah will be riding a horse, a donkey, on into Jerusalem, which happened. You can go ahead and read it in the book of Matthew and also in all the other gospels, that when Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem riding upon the ass colt, the Bible says it was the baby of an ass. And that was what Jacob was prophesying thousands of years before that. In verse 11, he said, he will bind his foal unto the vine, and his ass colt unto the choice vine. And he went further to describe the characteristic of the Messiah. Say, he washed his garments in wine and his clothes in the blood of grapes. And you remember when the Lord Jesus Christ came, they were describing the Lord as drinking wine with the public. They call him that he was a wine bibber. And Jacob was seeing that the characteristic of the Messiah thousands of years before it happened. In verse 12, he said, his eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. Now, that was prophesying about the Shiloh that will come. Now, I said, these men, they believed in the future. That in itself is faith. That Jacob believed in the future that was revealed to him by God. If you are profane, you will not believe this. And I'm going to give you some more insight in this prophecy of Jacob. This is chapter 49 of Genesis that I have been reading. Now I said something earlier on. I said he gave the scepter of the kingdom to Judah. But he put a limit in time. He said until Shiloh come. Now a lot of preachers have never said it that way. And I'm going to point to you the reason why I said it that way. In some other Bible verses, when Jacob reached, when he started blessing Joseph, you have to remember, I did not write this Bible. I'm only pointing to the prophecies that were written in this Bible. So you can now see that it has been written. I'm just pointing out to you. When Jacob began to give blessing to Joseph in Genesis chapter 49, starting from verse 23, was where he started blessing Joseph. And you will see a point there where he was pointing to the fact that the stone of Israel will come from Joseph. Verse 22, let me read from verse 22 of Genesis chapter 49. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow are bold in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Now look at this parenthesis here, and I didn't put this one here. I'm just pointing this out to you, so that you may see the limiting factor that Jacob was prophesying for Judah. He said the center of rulership, of being the king and being the ruler, will not depart from Judah until Shiloh come. And I'm reading that to mean it will have to terminate when Shiloh comes. However, look at this way. He was pointing to the fact that the Messiah will come not from Judah then. That was his prophecy, but I will point to you where that was reversed. In fact, David pointed it out in the book of Psalms, that God forsook the tabernacle of Ephraim and chose Judah again. Now in verse 24, he went for, I said, from Joseph, from thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. I didn't put that parenthesis there. Moses must have put it there, and it was translated to be that way, which means Moses was prophesying that the shepherd, the stone of Israel, would come through Joseph. However, why was that changed? We see the story of why it was changed in the book of Psalms. But that will be something else I'll be pointing out in a moment. And look at that. He went further and gave more blessings in verse 25 and 26 to Joseph. Now, what I'm trying to point out here is about faith. These men of old, they believed in the future that was revealed to them. Do you believe in the future? Then you are a man of faith or a woman of faith. If you don't believe the future that is revealed to you by God, now, not by some soothsayers. There have been a lot of soothsayers, even in the midst of churches. Go to, turn on the television sometime, and I will see a prophets that are prophesying, and all they are saying are soothsaying. I wonder whether that is exactly what God wanted to tell the church. If the church is lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I wonder whether God will be prophesying good things ahead, good things ahead. Hey, beware, you prophets that are only prophesying good things ahead. The Bible said, we have already seen in the Bible the prophecies that said something about the future. The future for us that has been revealed to us in the Bible is that the Lord is coming soon. That is the future. That there is going to be a rapture. That is the future. Do you believe that future? And not only that there will be persecution before the rapture. That is the future. Do you believe that future? So if those that believe the future, they have to begin to prepare for that future. And let me give you some insight here, how these men of old were preparing for the future that was revealed to them. Let's go back again to Genesis chapter 49, and I will show to you how Jacob was preparing for the future that was revealed to him by God. In verse 31, in Genesis chapter 49, verse 31, Jacob began to give the instruction to his children. He said, telling them about where he wanted to be buried. In verse 29, he said, "And I charged them and said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite." In verse 31, it says, "There they buried Abraham and Sarah, his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah, his wife. And there I buried Leah." Now, you may say, why was this man concerned about where he wanted to be buried? Why was he concerned? When he's dead, he's done, gone, like many people thought. They thought, well, I'm dead, when I'm dead, I'll be gone. No. These men of faith, they believed in the future. That God revealed to them that there will be resurrection. So they believed in the resurrection. Well, that is it, folks. I have to break in right now. Do you believe in the future that has been revealed to you? This has been Gospel Distribution Ministry. We shall continue this message in the next broadcast. And we're going to go now to the faith of Joseph in Hebrews chapter 11. And we see what we were mentioning about the faith of Jacob and Joseph is that this man believed in the future that was revealed to them by God. To Jacob, he knew about the Messiah who will come, and he made mention of that he must be buried with his fathers, with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, because he believed in the prophecies. And he also was delivering the prophecies of the blessing of God to Judah and also to Joseph. And we're going to review that in this message, and then go to the faith of Joseph. And I believe the Lord will bless your heart as you listen. God bless you. In verse 31, in Genesis chapter 49, verse 31, Jacob began to give the instruction to his children. He said, telling them about where he wanted to be buried. In verse 29, he said, "And I charged them and said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite." In verse 31, he said, "There they buried Abraham and Sarah, his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah, his wife. And there I buried Leah." Now you may say, why was this man concerned about where he wanted to be buried? Why was he concerned? When he's dead, he's done, gone, like many people thought. They thought, well, I'm dead, when I'm dead, I'll be gone. No, 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 no. These men of faith, they believed in the future, that God revealed to them that there will be resurrection. So they believed in the resurrection. And those people that believed in the future and in the resurrection to come, they wanted their body to be in a proper place, so that when that day of resurrection appears, they will be found in a proper place where they wanted to be. Now, I'm going to show to you another important mystery here. This man wanted himself to be buried with his people, Abraham and Isaac and all their family, where they were buried. He said, bury me right there with them. He didn't want to be buried way down in Egypt. And I also want to point something out to you here, that these men, they don't only believe in the future about the resurrection, they believe something more than that. And when I get to Joseph, I will point that to you again. Let's go again to Joseph. In Hebrews chapter 11, I want to talk about the faith of Joseph now. Verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Now, listen to that. Joseph gave commandment concerning his bones. Now, let's go read in the book of Genesis when that happened. In the book of Genesis chapter 50, the last chapter of the book of Genesis, let's see where Joseph was giving charge to the Hebrews concerning his body after when he would die. In verse 24 of Genesis chapter 50, and you can read this later if you don't have your Bible, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Now, he was telling them exactly what he knew by prophecy. Joseph happened to be a prophet. So he was telling his brethren. By this time, his elder brothers could have been all dead. He was talking only to the children of his brothers and his own children. That's why his brethren he was talking to right now. Or what you say is descendants that were still alive. And he was telling them that God will visit them in Egypt to take them out of Egypt one day, someday, someday, someday. And now in verse 25, and Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. Now listen to that. You may say, who cares? Why did Joseph want his bones to be carried out of Egypt? Who cares? When he died, he was dead and gone. No, 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 no. These men believed in the future that was revealed to them. Men of faith, they believed in the future that had been revealed to them. God revealed to Joseph that God will visit the earth again. And I will tell you in a moment that when these people were saying, carry me back to the land of Palestine, he wanted to be buried where his parents were buried. It was not just because he didn't want to be in Egypt. You may say, what about his brothers? All of those, his brothers who are not as spiritual as Joseph, they all died and were all buried somewhere in Egypt. You see what I mean? But Joseph, being a prophet, and he believed the future, he knew about the future. That made a difference. He not only knew about the future, he also believed the future. And he gave commandment concerning his bones. He did not want to be resting, laying in Egypt somewhere. And I want you to know something. The future he actually was talking about was not the resurrection on the last day. He knew about the resurrection, that the Messiah would visit Israel, his people. He knew about that prophecy that Jacob was talking about his children, that the Messiah will come. He called them the stone of Israel will visit. He was talking to them that the scepter will not depart from Judah until Shiloh come. And he was describing the Messiah, Shiloh, who will come. And he also said it will come through, he was prophesying that it will come through the land of Joseph, through the children of Joseph. However, according to the book of Psalms, David made us to know that because of iniquity, because they joined unto idols, that God forsook the tabernacle of Ephraim and chose no more Ephraim. He forsook the tabernacle of Joseph and chose no more Ephraim, but he chose Judah and chose David. And through David, the line of David, you see that in Psalm 78, the book of Psalms, chapter 78, verse 67. This is where David was prophesying, telling us exactly why the line of Judah was finally where the Messiah came from. But that was actually because that was how God ordained it initially. But Jacob was giving the prophecy to the line of Joseph, like I read to you in Genesis. Now in chapter 78 of book of Psalms, verse 67, he said, moreover, he, meaning God, refused the tabernacle of Joseph and chose not the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, the Mount Zion, which he loved. And he built his sanctuary like high palaces, like the earth, which he has established forever. And verse 70, he chose David also his servant and took him from the sheepfold. Now that was where the prophecy revealed to us that was why Shiloh finally came through the line of Judah. The Lord, the Messiah, came through the line of Judah to fulfill the prophecy that God actually had that ordained. But Jacob was given the line of Joseph, because you could see that this is a prophet. You could see that Joseph was a prophet. There was no way that this thing would change from coming through the line of a prophet. But God had something different. Now, what I'm actually pointing to us here is that these men, they believe in the prophecy, in the future that was revealed to them by God. That is faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, these people, Jacob and Joseph, they have not seen this promise. They have not seen this Messiah, but they believe what the Lord God revealed to them, that the Messiah will come one day, and that the Messiah will resurrect also. They knew, or must have had understanding, that there will be a resurrection, an early resurrection, where only those people that were in Jerusalem, that God will select some people to resurrect with the Messiah, which happened in the book of Matthew, that some saints resurrected when the Lord Jesus Christ resurrected. Now, you tell me now, who are these saints that resurrected from in Jerusalem? If you are to point to some people that the Lord Jesus Christ will take out of the grave when he resurrected, in Matthew chapter 28, let me read it to you again. If you are to guess and say, who are the saints that was reported to have resurrected when the Lord Jesus Christ rose up from the dead? Give me some names of some people that you think, well, if anybody was going to resurrect, maybe somebody like this. Maybe you would have said Abraham. Who else could have been the saints who resurrected with the Messiah? Maybe you would have said Abraham. What about Isaac? What about Jacob? What about Joseph? Okay. at least just naming some few, that if there are some saints at all that will resurrect with the Messiah, like the Bible reported here, maybe they will be those men I just mentioned. Now, think of that. Suppose they could only resurrect if they were right there in Jerusalem, if they were buried right there in Jerusalem when the Messiah came and was resurrected in Jerusalem. They had to be right there in Jerusalem. You can now see why Joseph compelled and commanded his the Hebrews that do not leave my bones in Egypt, because he knew about the prophecy that the Messiah will come and the Messiah will resurrect and take some people out of the grave with him. You see what I mean? These men of faith, they believed in the future. Now, that is faith. Do you also believe in the future? That is the question I'm posting to you. Do you also believe in the future? And we know the future that has been revealed to us as believers. The Lord Jesus is coming soon. Do you believe that future? That we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Do you believe that future? And now, if you say, I believe, how are you preparing for that future? Ask yourself that question. How are you preparing for the future which you said you believe? Now, Joseph has just given us an example. He made preparation specifically for his body not to be buried in Egypt, because he had the authority and the power. The Bible said in Genesis chapter 50 verse 26, the last verse, so Joseph died being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. He commanded his servants not to put him in the grave, but to just leave him in a coffin above ground in Egypt, so that in the days when the Israelites, 400 years later, when the Hebrews were to leave Egypt, you will see that yourself in the book of Exodus, the bones of Joseph were taken out of Egypt and carried with them on their way out of Egypt. Now you can see what I mean. Joseph already made it easy that his bones would not be left in Egypt by commanding that he should not be buried in Egypt, just left in a coffin above ground. And they knew how to do that in Egypt until up till today. That was how those mummies were embalmed and kept for years. After 400 years, the body of Joseph was carried out of Egypt by Moses and the Hebrews, and it brought him out of Egypt and to the Palestine, and was buried in that same area, so that when the Messiah came, you can guarantee that if all those saints that were named, that were to resurrect with the Messiah in the book of Matthew, Joseph very likely was one of them. Suppose he had been in Egypt, buried in Egypt, would God have called him out of Egypt? Almost unlikely. So that is what we are talking about. You also, do you believe in the future that God has revealed to us as believers? If you believe the future about the rapture, how are you preparing yourself for this rapture?
Well, praise the Lord. I would like to break in right now because we are running out of time.
Write to the Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050, USA.
Write to me and we shall send you some more literature that will be edifying to you. And if you have access to the internet, our web address is gospeldistribution.org, gospeldistribution.org. Write to us by email or by letter, and we shall send you some more literature. God bless you.